This morning I was going to start here by talking about a neat thing that happened here a few weeks ago in a robotics competition that my son was in. And the reason I want to speak about it is because it was to God's glory. And a bunch of homeschool kids that Ron's son's involved, my son's involved, are part of this robotics competition. Whoa, I guess it's just not going to hold everything. And they won state, Indiana State, and they had a chance to go to the Worlds. And so when they went to this Worlds, it's 31 different countries. So we really thought they would place well, but didn't really expect them to win. But we were there for the experience. If that's going to work. When we got there, they had made it to the finals. And my son and Ron's son and a few other friends, and there's four of the boys up there, and they were all praying. And there was 1,000 people watching them. And they were up on the stage preparing for their final match. And so they were ranked third. So the way it works is you have two other teams ahead of them. And if you were able to get a perfect score, they would take the person that qualified first for the winner. So they were up there praying, and they ran their competition. They scored a perfect score. And this was, just the best they'd ever done. And everyone had seen them praying. And then the other two teams were still to come up. And these two teams, the one team had, throughout the 3 days previous, had scored almost every single time a perfect score. So we knew that probably they were going to do this again. And the lesson in this is that this team was by far the best team. They were from China. Their robot was superior, there's no doubt. But when they came to compete, part of the competition is you have a partner. In this partnership, usually, as our team did, they both worked together to score the most points. Well, this first place team, in their pride and arrogance, said, "We got this all by ourselves. You guys just sit back and let us do all the work, and we'll win this." And as they went right towards the end, they missed one score. And because they had told their partner just to sit back and they got this, they lost. And, through this whole weekend or week, that team hadn't really done that. And, everyone saw our team up there praying, asking for God's glory. And they worked together as a team, and they won. As we talk about this, and I talk about a little bit about my testimony, I tried for many years to do this life thing on my own. It never worked out well. And, so I just open with a little prayer and start telling you how I finally came to the point where that baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the surrendering of my life to the Lord, where, I gave him that control. Heavenly Father, as I stand up here and just tell the testimony of your works in my life, Lord, I just ask for your Holy Spirit to be upon all of us, Lord. Just give us ears to hear, Lord. Just let us hear your testimony, Lord. Let us draw closer to you as we close this last day this weekend, Lord. I just pray that each one of us would hear something to take away from this, to take back to our families, to our friends, to our neighborhoods, to our churches, Lord. That we'd be able to have a newfound faith, Lord, a newfound faith in you and what you've done in our lives, what purpose you have for our lives, Lord, how you'll use us. I just thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So Pastor Tom has been talking to us kind of all weekend about how we have a maker. And I think some of us may have known that, but it was sure a great reality to sit there and hear that and have a new reality of knowing that, if we have a maker, we were made for a purpose. I think as guys, we always need a purpose. My father-in-law was just at my house, and I've learned that when it comes to my house, we don't have TV. So I always save projects around the house for us to do. If it's the simplest thing as my brake lights out in my car, we can gather him and my son, and we'll go to the auto parts store, and we'll go get the light, and we'll go take the lens off and put the light bulb in. It sounds so simple, but instead of just sitting around the house, if we have a purpose and something to do as men, we seem to feel accomplished I always need something to do. And, to find that purpose in our life is so important, and to know that God has a plan and a purpose for each and one of us. I've been a contractor or a carpenter all my life. It's a gift the Lord has given me, and people contract with me to do projects. Recently, someone called me up, and they said they want a garage built. So I was like, okay, so what's the purpose of this garage? And I'm going to try to explain this as, this is kind of applies to our lives. And he says, he has this classic car, and he wants to protect this car. So as I think of this garage that needs to be built, the purpose is to protect this car. And also, he said, I want to be able to work on this car in this garage, so it's going to need some space for countertops and cabinets and for my tools. And so now when I go to build this garage, I'm building it according to its purpose. So it has a big, the door in the front has extra room for a car lift, has extra tall ceilings because he wanted a car lift. It has lots of electrical outlets and air lines. Just like I'm building this garage, God has built us for a purpose. We each have different characteristics for the purpose that he has for us. Now, this last project, when I was building this garage, as I was building it, the owner and myself started seeing that it needed some other things that he had not previously thought of. He actually forgot to put the door, a man door, in. He thought he'd just put the big garage door and not have a door. So we had to get a sawzall out. We had to cut a big hole in the side of the building. And, that's kind of how it works for us, too. Sometimes God's got to take some stuff and get a sawzall out and cut some things out of our lives so we can serve the purpose that we're made for. When we got that sawzall out, it made a big mess. It cost money, it cost time. But when it was done, we cleaned up that whole mess and we had a garage that could serve the purpose. And as a carpenter, it's the way I can relate to my life as far as God has a purpose for me. And sometimes, I got to get things out of my life. There's sin in my life. It's got to go away before he can use me. And sometimes to get that sin out of my life, it requires something drastic. As I share part of my testimony, you'll see that when these things happened in my life, I did not see them in that light. I just saw them as hard times. I didn't realize that God was using them to form me to a purpose. Now, as I grew up in a Christian home. I realized and understood that Jesus paid the price for my sins. I believed that I was a sinner. I believed that he rose again. I believed that he was basically, as I went to church, though, I didn't understand that relationship with him. But I did have that inheritance in heaven saved up for me. I do believe that. But it never really affected my daily life. I just kind of thought that you'd go through life, live life here on earth, and then if you believed in Jesus when you died, and if you, repented and said your prayers, you'd go to heaven. And I went through the whole first half of my adult life that way. And as I started, I remember that, I guess, that I knew that God had a purpose for me, but I never understood it. And so I was kind of started life as a young adult, 20 years old, and I was very unhappy, yet I didn't understand why. I could never figure out that inner peace or that rest the Bible talks about. And so I started trying to find ways to do that. And I thought, 18 years old, 20 years old, that if I was to get a wife, that would make me happy. So I found a beautiful wife. And, as funny as that didn't really make me happy. So I thought maybe if we made a lot of money and got a big house, that would make me happy. I tried that. So maybe I could have some kids, get a dog, do all these things that our world tells us we should do. So all that did is make the situation worse. It didn't help at all. So as I went through life trying to find out how to be happy, how to fill that hole that was in my life, I started to fall into sin more and more. I went to church here and there. I'd go to my pastor's office and I'd ask him, I'm like, why can't I figure this out? I see these other Christian men around that seem to have a good life. They're content in their lives. They're happy. Yet I didn't have that. And, what is the difference between them and me? And I'd pray about it. I couldn't get it. And I kept searching after different things. I went through 10 years of my life that way, never understanding my purpose in life or that relationship with Jesus. And my marriage was absolute shambles. Teaching my son and I were listening to when we were driving here, we were listening to some teachings, going through some things. And one of the teaching the pastor, I guess he's a pastor, was talking about was that, Jesus was that spare tire in the back of my car. And that's what he was in my life. The only time that spare tire ever came out was when I had something bad in life. I hit a pothole in life and blew out a tire. And I'd get him on and put him on there and use him to get him out of that tough spot. And as soon as I was back to safety, I put him right back in the trunk and keep going through life. And that's exactly how I viewed Jesus. I never let him have the wheel. I just used him kind of to get me by in rough times. I was amazed that, the times that he would get me out when I was in trouble. But again, as soon as I was out of trouble, I'd be right back into that same behaviors, just trying to run my life. And as I went through, I started a business and I did very, very well. And, I made lots of money. I thought that that would help. It didn't. It actually made things worse. And so this morning, what I want to tell you is that I was saved, but I was unhappy. I didn't understand what God had in store for me. There finally came a point in my life where I had tried everything I knew to fix that hole in my heart, and nothing had ever worked. And one night that I was working at a mine, and late at night I was reading my Bible, and you have to open it. Romans, those that you have your Bible, 7:14. It's kind of a long section of scripture, but I'd like to read it because I remember the night that I read this. My life changed radically. I went from a person that believed in Jesus but had no power to a person that surrendered to the Holy Spirit at that night. This is what I read here in 7:14. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what am I doing is wrong, this shows that I agree with the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does. And I know that nothing good lives in me, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways. But if I do what I don't want to do, am I really the one doing it? Is it sin living in me that does it? I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. When I read that, the Lord spoke to my heart in a new way. I just couldn't believe that a saved person would still struggle like that. I didn't understand that. I thought I was probably the only one in the world that still had all them struggles. And then we read Paul, he was saved and still having struggles. And at that point, I prayed and I asked the Holy Spirit to, you know, that baptism of the Holy Spirit is talked about throughout the Bible. And at that point, and now every day when I wake up, I get on my knees and I pray, Lord, it's like, what will you have me with my life today? How will you guide me today? What purpose do you have in my life today? And I can't do that by myself. I had to have that baptism of that Holy Spirit. When that is, you know, you see it in Pentecost, you see that's when the power comes. That's when a real life change happened in so many of the disciples. That's when they went out and they had a purpose. They were sent out at that point with that power of that Holy Spirit. And until I had that, you know, that power, I just struggled through life. That was a point where slowly, the process was a slow process for me, but it allowed me to start really seeing that purpose for me. And, you know, that's, God's revealed that through many different things as times went on. I think back to all the struggles I had, and I see that God has prepared me in every single part of my life up until now for the works that he has for me and my family. And I look back before, even before my wife was saved, and I can tell you that God had a plan for me then. Before I was really, you know, I believed that Jesus was my Savior, but I wasn't living for him. And I think back, there was this incident that I actually witnessed a miracle once. And first, I don't know why I'm embarrassed to even say this, we owned a Mazda Miata, which is, you know, I don't know why a guy would own that car. But I was about 20 years old, and I was in Lake Tahoe, Nevada, which people always think Nevada, they think desert. You got to think snow, Winter Olympics, Lake Tahoe. We were coming down this great big hill in the winter in a Mazda Miata, which doesn't say much for my intelligence. But it's just my wife and I in this car, this little Mazda Miata, you know, rear-wheel drive, tiny car, pitched sideways coming down this hill to pure ice. And as it was going down this hill sideways, there's a semi coming up about 55 miles per hour. And I'm from here to that back door going straight underneath this semi, the front of the semi. And I looked at my wife and I was like, well, I guess this is it. You know, it was kind of funny. It's all slow motion when stuff like that happens. I'm like, well, you know, this is it. We're going under the semi. And I knew that if I went under that semi, we were both dead. In that little tiny car, it hit a semi, you know, 50 miles per hour, each of us going, we're dead. I just looked at my wife, and then 1 second later, we're driving straight down the road. We went right through that semi. God literally took that car, straightened it out, and placed it right past where the accident would have taken place. And I look back at that time, it's like, obviously this is a miracle. And I knew at that point God had done that. My wife, I'm not sure, I talked to her, it's like, well, how do you explain that? She didn't believe in God. And she still couldn't explain it, but I knew at that point in my life there's a purpose. I mean, why did God save me? There's nothing, I didn't have kids. I didn't have, there's no real reason. Yet it took me 8 more years to try to find that out. So, and I didn't find that out until I was baptized with that Holy Spirit, and that I was able to really just surrender my life on a daily basis to him in a manner that I wake up every morning and I just go, Lord, what do you have for me today? How can I serve you? I've had to basically everything in my life now, Paul was talking about something, how he's thinking about selling his house. And we kind of did that. We took our house and we took everything we had and put it in a storage container and rented our house out and put everything in a car and came here and said, Lord, where will you lead me? Wherever God has got for me, I'm ready each day. If it's if he wants me to, you know, lately, it's the last few years, he's called us to be missionaries in Myanmar. And so we've taken everything we got and just said, we'll go. And, you know, I've taken a lot of ridicule from my family since I left a really good job just to go serve and however he called me. But I've never, when you are responding to the Lord's calling in your life, there's a peace, a joy that is, I can't explain it, but it's the most amazing thing I've ever experienced. It was that thing that I was looking for all of my life, in all them things, and the money, the cars, the all the different things that I was ever searching for, and all I had to do was surrender and say, Lord, how do you want to use me? What do you want from me? You know, to do that, I have to do that daily. I definitely do have to do that daily. So I just want to share that part of my testimony that until I surrendered my life completely, he's no longer that spare tire, but I gave him the driver as well. And now I'm sitting in the passenger seat. You may think that, you know, maybe I'm just sitting there and God's driving along. Well, it hasn't really been that experience at all. In fact, I'm glad this car that I'm riding in has the, you know, the handles on it. I don't know what you call them, because I tell you, all I can do is just hang on. You know, I thought it'd be some little like joyride. Now, no, I'm just hanging on. It's moving. God's plan and his will for our life and my family's life has gone, moved so radically. All I can do is hang on and just say, wherever we're going, Lord, whatever you got for us, how do you want to use me? You know, which way do you need to prepare me, prepare my family, prepare my heart? Whatever you want, Lord, I'll do it. So I just thank you. I'm going to show a little video, and a friend of mine, Jesse Medlong, some of you may know him, made this video, and this song that I can't remember who the artist is, I don't even know, but really shows the words, the lyrics really show my heart towards the Lord and for what he's called us to do. So I want to thank you guys. This weekend has just been amazing. It's been a great reassurance. It was just a year ago when they came to family camp here and the theme was commissioned, and that was a turning point, a reassurance from the Lord. I knew that calling was on my life to go to be a missionary in Myanmar. But when we came here, God used a family that's here to just confirm that. I answered that call. And so, you know, I don't know what the Lord's calling you to do. I know that for me, I never knew that calling until I got on my knees. I never knew that calling until I got into his word daily. I never knew that calling until I submitted my life wholly and truly to him. He wasn't just that fire insurance anymore, but he was truly the one that guides my life each day. I thank you guys so much. You guys have been a blessing to me. And blessing being here this weekend. I just find it amazing. My wife was so jealous that Tom was preaching and she couldn't go. I don't know how many of you else have your guys' wives found out that when he was preaching they wanted to go. I'm like, no, you can't go. So thank you guys so much. Just keep us in our prayers. I do have that booth back there, and I know we got bacon coming up, so play our video and I'll play that. And I just pray that each and every one of us would step out of that boat, follow that calling on our life, to see that we have each have a purpose. Each one of us is very different. Each purpose is very different. You've equipped each one of us very differently, Lord. But we would pray, seek after you, and read your word, and find out what that calling is in our life, Lord, and respond to it, Lord. I just know that we can't do this on our own. I just ask for your power, your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be upon us all, to equip us, to send us out, Lord, to go out, Lord, and tell everyone about you, Lord, and your glory, Lord. I just thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name, amen.